Yes, we are.
I like starting just a minute before afternoon. Good morning, honorable members, as it is still morning. I hope we are all here. I've not seen somebody wearing reds. I hope they are also on their way.
Chair, Mr. Chabangu is in the meeting.
I saw somebody with a white beard. Is it him?
I'm representing.
Oh, you're representing both.
That's progressive, Chair. That's very progressive.
Yeah.
I think the select committee members will be joining us as they wrap up that side of the NCOP. Thank you.
Wow. No, that's fine. That's fine. The chair, you are, the chair is here from the select committee.
Yes, the upper house is here. The upper house is here.
Honorable
Ramadu has joined.
No, Honorable Ramadu, you're okay. Thank you very much. I will go to the participants. I'll see everybody who's with us. Otherwise, a warm welcome to this meeting that we will be having together with the select committee. Because it's going to deal with some rents and cents. let me allow you, Chair, to also greet the meeting properly in your capacity as a chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. Indeed, as the select committee, we are part and parcel of the meeting. We have just been part of the meeting of the NCOP, the plenary. So other members were waiting to pose some questions. So once they are done, they'll join us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. let's allow formal apologies. Valerie, you have told me that as Togo's employee was not in the house today, am I correct? Valerie? Formal apologies? Okay. Valerie? Valerie's not with us. This new honorable member that has joined us, can you mute yourself so that the kids can continue playing peacefully in the background there?
Well, is the committee secretary?
Chair, can you hear me now? Mute button seemed to be, it goes automatically on. So Chair, Mr. Mabena is on leave today, and that was the only apology that we've received.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Valerie. I think without any further ado, let's shoot straight to get a briefing by the department.
Can we have apologies from the
NCOP
side? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Who was talking? Yes, sir.
It's the committee secretary from the NCOP.
Oh, okay.
We've got only one apology. It's for Ms. Brenda Matebula, Honorable Matebula.
She's attending the meeting in the NCOP. She said the issue of water is a critical thing in her constituency, so she won't be joining this meeting.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Let's go on, honorable members. Let's receive the presentation from the department. Is the department around? DG? Sawubona mhlonishwa.
Njani baba?
Hayi baba, sikhona, sikhona. Mase kufike wena sesingaqala bese sithi sininikeza intambo, sesinikeza inda.
Okay.
Yebo baba.
Ndakulungile baba. Thank you honorable chairperson of the portfolio committee, Mr. Msebenzi Zwane. Honorable members of the Select Committee on Transport, Public Service and Administration, Public Works and Infrastructure, Mr. Kenny Moiman, members of the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee. The impact of COVID-19 pandemic has had a devastating effect on the economy and the transport sector. We have seen the disruptor effect of this pandemic in our way of life, but also in how government delivers on its service delivery mandate. It is for this reason that the budget presented in February this year had to be adjusted in order to better prepare us not only in fighting the pandemic, but in ensuring that the economy stays afloat. The adjusted budget before you seeks to cushion a number of our entities from the impact of the pandemic while enabling the sector to recover. This budget is not only about cuts to necessitate the allocation of resources to the country's critical touch points in the fight against COVID-19, but also a rearrangement of deck chairs to enable us to respond better to the impact on the sector and on our entities. This pandemic has further amplified the challenges confronting us, particularly in public transport. The divide between the poor who rely on public transport and the affluent who have access to private vehicles has been laid bare by the current circumstances. Equally so, our interventions to ease their burden had to be mindful of their circumstances. It is precisely for this reason that made a strong case for taxi relief support for an industry that is a major mover of our people. Equally so, we are mindful that intensifying our investments in infrastructure will add momentum on restructuring our economy in the stable footing quicker. It is for that reason we have to support our major entities such as Airports Company South Africa, South African National Roads Agency Limited, the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa in forging ahead with their infrastructure projects. We are equally mindful of the urgent task to look at the rationalizing some of our entities as part of streamlining our approach to service delivery. This is a matter that we reflect in our priorities as part of reimagining safety and security in the transport sector. While the budget shifts in themselves do not represent any fundamental departure from what we seek to deliver, they nevertheless shift our immediate focus and require us to place emphasis on stabilizing service delivery in the new normal. The following are the key elements in adjusted budget we should pay particular attention to: shifting across programs from goods and services and taxi recapitalization program of 349 million to fund the following: shortfall to cross-border transport to the tune of 104 million, the Road Traffic Infringement Agency in order to ensure adequate capacity to roll out ARTO to the tune of 200 million, the Railway Safety Regulator to the tune of 15.8 million goods and services for COVID-19 procurement of personal air protective equipment. In rail transport, there is a baseline reduction of 121 billion and 100.260 billion for revenue shortfall and COVID-19 of 24.7 million. In the road transport program, the baseline reduction is 1.756 billion from the provincial road maintenance grant, another 1.095 billion from SANRAL, and reallocation of an amount of 309 million for the shortfall and 2.253 billion for GFIP shortfall. In the public transport program, there is a reprioritization of 15% within public transport network grant and public transport operations grant to procure PPE for public transport facilities and public transport. A further reprioritization is made to the tune of 1.135 billion from public transport network towards the taxi relief support. An additional 1.95 billion has been allocated to the transport network grant from the 20 billion announced by the president to cover the shortfall from municipalities. Honorable members, please note that the following entities did not receive any additional allocation in this budget: Road Accident Fund, South African Civil Aviation Authority, Road Traffic Management Corporation. In our further engagement with our entities and the analysis of their financials, as their impact of the pandemic, CBRTA and RTIA revised their initial request due to the decline in revenue collection from alert level 4. The CBRTA only collected 77% of its projected revenue, which reduced the initial request to 38.5 million as compared to the 104 million requested. RTIA also indicated that they will be generating revenue since they have started issuing the infringement letters, and that the surplus from 2019-20 will sustain them until end of August, which reduced the initial request from 200 million to 80 million rand. Although the National Treasury has approved the initial proposal by the department, the discussion continued on how to cover the unfunded shortfall of RTMC and SACAR. An RAF based on the savings from RTIA and CBRTA after the revised requests. The changes were sent to National Treasury. However, due to time constraints for budget submission, it was late for National Treasury to include the changes. Apart from that, the Railway Safety Regulator will also experience challenges as a result of the revenue shortfalls. The request for an amount of 17.2 billion for revenue shortfall from the fuel levy did receive an additional allocation. The department was not able to reprioritize the 17.2 billion within its allocation. Other requests for guarantees and refinancing are as follows: airport company 3.5 billion, the road accident fund 15 billion, the South African National Road Agency, 6.3 billion. PRASA operational losses over the past 10 years have put it under tremendous pressure. This has resulted in a requirement for funding to the tune of 8.4 billion, which will form part of the adjustment budget process. The department is currently engaging with PRASA in order to prepare a submission for the adjustment budget process later in the year. As we traverse the path towards economic recovery, we are confident that our entities will recover sufficiently to continue undertaking the critical service delivery mandate necessary to support the resumption of economic activity. I thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Mpatiswa. I'm sure you are done. There's no need for DG to come in. If there's a need and the DG is around, we'll allow that space. Does the DG wants to say something? Anything else?
Good day, honorable members and the minister. The DG is currently in another meeting, will be joining us in 5 minutes. He requested that in the meantime, we can take the members through the presentation. I've been listening to the presentation. The minister have already covered a lot of the items. Our presentation is the detail, but in summary, the minister have already covered what I'm going to present.
Okay. Thank you very much. I could see by the presentation that the ministers already covered almost everything. Honorable members, you want to say something? Thank you, Minister. We can see that you can deal with any matter in the department, including the real issues that affect the department. Thank you very much for that. Honorable members, let me see hands of members who wants to ask something. Anders, I believe, Mansell. Where are the hands?
Jane, he's not Jane.
Let Jane. Me know, the Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson.
Honorable. Chris Hunsinger. And then
Honorable Tolasho, Chair.
Honorable Tolasho.
Honorable
Khai. Sithole. After Khai, Sithole.
Honorable Bradisit.
Honorable
Bradisit.
From the City Committee.
Or just Tim, Honorable Tim.
Oh, Honorable Tim.
Yeah.
And then number 8.
Honorable Django. Jambas.
Honorable Jambas is number 2.
Dango.
And Honorable Dango. And then Honorable. Okay. Those will be the 9, 8 members. Do we still have the chairperson of the select committee?
Yes, Chair. I'm here.
Let me start with you, and then you'll follow that. You'll chair all these other participants. Chair, over to you.
Thank you, Chair.
Don't mute.
I was just saying that it looks like there's a confusion. Is the department still presenting or not? Let's get from the minister just to get a clarity. It looks like the minister gave the skeleton, so they wanted to give to add meat to the bone.
No. That's not okay. That is not true.
All right, Chair.
They are done. They are no, thanks. With all what right. The Chair, ministers presented. Thank you, Chair.
My pleasure. I'm happy with the good work that was done by the by the team led by the minister in terms of reprioritization, given the impact and the pressure that COVID-19 had on the transport as a sector. So therefore, what will be critical from my side is how do we reposition transport to play its critical role in terms of boosting our economy. I think that is point number one, given the opportunities, comparative opportunities that are there from the tax recapitalization program, the SANRAL, its focus on non-toll roads and toll roads, and more so what will also be critical across all provinces and across all spheres is how do we use the provincial road maintenance grant and to be able to re-engineer and add oomph to the economic drive in those areas that I've listed, both across all three spheres, but more on the on the rural part of the countryside. What we'll then do probably is to then allow members, just as they were identified by the Honorable Chair Zwani, to speak. I want to believe that honorable members were able to were listening attentively to the list that was identified by honorable members. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the minister, the DG. I think the deputy minister is not here. I want to thank the minister for his presentation. We attentively read the documents that was provided by us. And let me first say thank you very much to the DG and the minister for making sure that they don't take all the money away from the transport sector. It's now a reduction of 4.6 billion in the cut that Treasury has taken from us. And we hope that we will be able to spend the money wisely during this very difficult time in this country, during this COVID-19, where our finances for the next financial year is going to be highly constrained. And I hope that the entities take note that the money must be used to service the people of South Africa and not their own pockets, and that we must root out corruption. And then I hope that we will someday start a discussion on making all the transport entities and the infrastructure of transport a national key point, so that people can stop destroying our infrastructure, especially during this COVID period. A lot of our infrastructure was stolen, which now we have to replace at an extremely big cost. And this puts a lot of poor working class commuters stranded because of a criminal element during this tough time. And I thank you, Minister, and I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable member. Honourable members, like I said, let's just move according to the list that was identified by honourable Zwani. After honourable McDonald, who's the next one?
I believe I was next. Thank you, Chair. My name is Chris Hoensinger. If I can proceed, Chair.
Yes, you are on the floor.
Indeed, Chair. At this stage, I really also want to thank Minister Balula for making so much time to be present at the portfolio committee meetings. I've had, you can call it privilege, you can call it what you want. I've had the experience of having four different ministers in the past 6 years, and at no stage before have I seen any transport minister attending portfolio committee meetings as what I've experienced in the past couple of months with Minister Mbalula being the minister. So I appreciate that. Thank you for the presentation. I've made a study of the content, and certainly a very difficult situation under COVID-19, but in a way, it was also a good thing, because now for the first time, proper revision and review had to be taken on the whole budget. Certainly one would have wanted this to happen under better conditions, but I would suggest in your presence, Minister, that serious consideration should not just be taken in terms of the budget being constrained and money being less, but that serious consideration should also be taken in terms of structure, so that we have to look at interdepartmental and also cross-departmental considerations. Now, some of these include to put serious mind to consolidating state-owned enterprises like the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, as well as RTMC, just as an example. Put the two together. But also to give final consideration and at least get it on track to get PRASA and Transnet together. More than R1 billion per year gets cross-invoiced between these two entities because they rent and hire each other's rail sections, platforms, signaling equipment, staff, etc. So to move into the budget now, Chairperson, I've got the following questions. Continuing on my suggestion that further refinement is necessary in terms of the restricted budget that we currently have, I then also propose that we get as soon as possible insight into how PRASA would then prioritize the priorities which they've brought to us in the form of the administrator's presentation to prioritize service recovery, safety and security, capital program and modernization, governance, and then lastly, revenue enhancement. Those five elements I would like to see being shown in the budget, how the budget would then be prioritized in terms of this, especially after our oversight meetings in the past 3 weeks. In terms of SANRAL, I would like to know the 2.5 billion rand that's been allocated to ETEL's GFIP. What is the intention of that? Why specifically has this been done? And then also staying with SANRAL, really important that certain of our infrastructure projects keep going. There are certain of these projects that could certainly enhance our economic future. And I'm specifically mentioning this in light of the Ntetu Bridge outside Lusikisiki, between Lusikisiki and Flagstaff in the Eastern Cape, that can really have economic benefit to that region and that shouldn't be affected. So I would like to see how this now adjusted budget is then reprioritized in relation to our infrastructure expenditure framework. And then lastly, Chair, on the public transport grant, I noticed that of the 13 cities that has been awarded over 40 billion rand over the last 12 years has now been cut back from 13 cities to a budget allocation to only 10 cities. Nelson Mandela Bay, Mbombela, and Sunduzi has been left out. Now, certainly that would leave a lot of people without any hope for a BRT system, and we should certainly also address that in more specific focused meetings. Those would be my questions and queries and considerations for this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Khai.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And let me also greet the Minister Mbalula and the Deputy Minister Makatsi and the Honorable Members and the Director General. Let me first also echo the words of other members in appreciating the efforts that have been made by the Department in ensuring and also negotiating, particularly with the Treasury, so that there is not a reduction that is going to affect the delivery in terms of the mandate of the department. We really appreciate the efforts that you've been making. Chair, I just want to also find out, but I also appreciate that with the easing of some restrictions, some of the entities that are generating their own revenue to fund themselves, at least now they are going to, even though slowly, will be able to get funds so that they can carry on with their programs. That is also appreciated. Just to question, Honorable Minister, with regard to the taxi relief fund, I understand that this is a once-off. I just want to check for which period, and also beyond that particular period, what is going to happen, because we don't know how long the COVID-19 will go on, but also the restrictions associated with the lockdown. The other critical issue for me, particularly with regard to the entities, whether there has been any evaluation by the department and the ministry with regard to the job losses in each of these entities that are affected. If, for example, if you take PRASA, you take even down the stream, not only with PRASA, but those companies and the small businesses that depend on the entities of the Department of Transport, whether there has been any evaluation by government with regard to those. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hai. Honorable Tim, gratitude.
Just getting all turned on you. Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I have two inquiries, but I think the second inquiry is of a general nature, and I'm not sure if the Minister would like to discuss it at the end. My first question, Chair, relates to reporting requirements of the department. I've sent the department written questions. I haven't had a response yet, but hopefully it's forthcoming. The Minister will know that Instruction Note 8, issued by Treasury on the 19th of March, instructs the departments, all departments, to report on all procurement that is done in the name of COVID-19. The instruction note effectively allows departments to deviate from normal procurement procedures and to procure items. Now, I know that there's been lots of talk of PPE in the transport industry and all manner of expenditure. So the question will be is, if that instruction was issued on the 19th of March, then the monthly report should have started happening by the end of April, the end of May, and now at the end of June. So the question to the Minister is, when will our two committees be able to receive copies of the report sent to Treasury for April, May, and June, so that we can monitor the expenditure as per the format in which it is set down, which is quite a detailed format in that instruction note? That is the first question. Chair, the other question I have is about a functional issue of transport, which I really would like to get in the meeting today, but it's not budget related. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tim. Honourable Mangu.
Chairperson, thank you so much for the opportunity. Minister, good afternoon, and your whole team that you are with, and Honourable Members. Firstly, I wish to persuade the committee that we agree that we do send a well-wishing and congratulatory message to the Minister for what he has done so far within a very tough terrain of negotiating with the taxi industry. We know that not all is finished yet in regard to what is proposed on the table. We see in the budget the about 1.3 billion rand relief fund. I would like to persuade honorable members that we send a message of support to the minister and the team of what they've done, and wish that they will be able to find an amicable way with the taxi industry in this space, because the taxi industry, despite the previous challenges, the minister has made an attempt to close the gap, and there is no amount of money that can ever be enough. Secondly, I would like to say that maybe as a committee to the minister, to can say, minister, maybe after all this, of course it might not end, it might be an opportunity for you, given the pronouncement by the Minister of Finance that going forward the budget will be zero based. Now, I'm sure as a committee we would like to know your thinking way ahead of time before the next budget cycle, so that we can make sure that the exposures that we have seen through COVID-19 can be closed appropriately in the budget. Thirdly, I think what has happened here is the best that could happen. And I would also say, as a committee, we need to support the efforts of the minister and the budget adjustment as presented before us, because it is coming under very difficult conditions. Last but not least, I would like to highlight two issues. Of course, it's one, but I think it's two. The provincial road maintenance grant and the public transport network grant, PTNG, which both of them, their allocations have been affected. I think we need to appeal to the minister through MINMEC and other structures that the minister is involved in, that we implore on the MECs that these grants should be spent. The simple rule is that you spend your grant money first before you spend the money that you have budgeted from other sources of money. It will be very important in light of the condition of the roads that we have in our country, especially the rural roads. And it's also another huge opportunity for us to be able to stimulate the economy in those spaces. Chairperson, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Manu. Honorable Dango.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, I just want to ask the minister a challenging question. The question is the progress on the ETOL matter. I don't expect a answer here today, minister, but sometime in the future, if we can resolve this matter, it will in fact be helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dango. Honorable Tulashe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning or good day. I really want to greet the Honorable Minister and his team, as well as my Honorable members. Chair, thank you for the opportunity. I really want also to thank the Minister for his presentation, but also it's rare to find a minister that is able to talk to the detail of the what is taking place in able to take us through in a manner that is quite professional and convincing and factual. Thank you very much. Chair, I want to start by saying we are going through a very difficult situation in the country, like the whole globe. The COVID-19 is eating up on our people. The COVID-19 does give us a very bad news and situation. But I really want us to take an advantage of COVID-19 itself by making sure that, because one thing that it has done, it has exposed us on far have you managed to go to really give service to our people. It has exposed us in many ways. And we are now really behind time in making sure that we do address those historical backlogs. However, it did give us, does give us an opportunity to introduce some drastic changes in the old way we used to do things. I think we should not miss the opportunity, Chairperson, to do drastic changes that are going to benefit our people as we move forward. I really want to suggest that insofar as the entities are concerned, Chairperson, almost all of them under transport, there was a particular way that they were operating, which we got to realize that most of them were really not being well looked after, and as a result, they were doing as they wish. I hope now Minister will take this opportunity of COVID-19 to bring all those closer to him and make sure that where there's a need to change, he should just change. Because if you miss the opportunity now, we might not be able to ever get it back. I also want to appreciate the department on making sure that it negotiates the process of taking monies away where it's not being spent. This is nothing but this is law, and it cannot be changed by any one of us. However, as my honorable member has just alluded to the fact that let there be very extensive coordination between ourselves, between the ministry, the department, and the province, as well as the local government. Because where monies are being taken away, you will realize that the poorest of the poor are the most affected, as the honorable members alluded to earlier on. So that, Chairperson, we can, as the department, preempt what might be the situation where the treasury starts to take all the money from this where it's not being spent. We ourselves are able to talk and be louder about it, to say, here we are, we gave this particular province or municipality money, they're unable to spend, and these are going to be the implications. Because when that process starts, the perception is that the treasurer is playing a big brotherhood kind of an attitude, which majority of cases is not. It's just that not all the facts are being exposed for treasurer to reach that stage. So I would really want that to happen, that the department led by the minister being quite ahead in being articulative on these matters, because this money have been put to those provinces and local municipalities, and they are not being spent, and that's the problem. But I want to appreciate what has been done by the department to make sure that they mitigate, so that not everything has been taken away. However, we need to get a program, Honorable Chairperson, to say how best are they going to spend that money to make sure that the money is being spent and this does not happen going forward. I'm talking to the issue of the PTNG, Chairperson, in this regard. The last one, Chair, we're worried for the fact that some monies are being taken away. And the kind of work that is being done by SANRAL in particular. SANRAL is doing a lot of good job. And we put our hopes into SANRAL really to make sure that our economy becomes stable and coherent. I really, even in that space, I really want to see activism in that space wherein all the stakeholders are being coordinated properly. Here in the Eastern Cape, you see sometimes experience a situation where SANRAL is forced to stop great, great projects because of some little problems that are so insignificant, but it makes the project to come to a standstill. So I want activism in that the department must make sure that it assists SANRAL to make sure that there is no one project that at any given time can come to a standstill because of some little problems. We know for a fact that sometimes these are being politicized. Sometimes it's that naughty people, but where you can put more coordination, I think we can resolve these kinds of problems. I think I want to support Honorable Ujambas by really congratulating the minister and his team on the good work that they are doing on the issue of taxi industry. Even itself, it needs, without being very harsh or loud, we need to transform the industry. It's the only black industry in the whole country, and it does affect us at any given time. I know for a fact that it's not going to be easy because all the wrong things we find in the taxi industry. The former people who work for the apartheid system are there. The criminals of note are there. But there are also good people in that industry. So let's take time to make sure that we do transform it, because now we are being, the government is being told or done so by the industry. I think minister is doing very well in that space, but let there be a louder voice on what the minister and his team is doing in making sure that we put the industry into the right track. And talk to them when they can't come, be loud, articulate as you always do, what is this that you are doing? This department, I mean the industry, Honorable Chairperson. I'm not sure whether I'm still audible, but that was going to be my contribution. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Honorable Tolashe. Honorable members, I just want to see as to whether is there any name that I did not pick up from the list of the names that were identified by Honorable Zwane. So it's Honorable May. And then
Honorable Sithole.
Honorable May, Honorable Sithole. And then, all right. Honorable May. Unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister, for attending so many meetings. I can really say I know you very well, not only me, but all of us. Thank you. The previous speaker, I agree with her. I agree adjustments were necessary, but the road transport program goes down by 2.6 billion. I believe it is the most important entity in transport. Maintaining national roads and provincial roads is so important. Roads are a crucial component of a transport system and economy. We know 77% land freight in South Africa is hauled and on its roads, moving goods and people across South Africa. A cut of 2.6 million is too much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, first of all, I want to thank the minister for his effort to try to balance the budget and the department, and the minister for attending all our meeting actually at this juncture. But my question, Chairperson, is just I have three questions that I need to the department and the minister actually to highlight them and make us to understand them. The first one is that the provincial road maintenance grant, which is 1.8 billion reductions, and the other one is that one. How did they do that one? Because I'm worried about the provincial roads. because their infrastructure are actually old and they are depleted. They actually, we have a lot of potholes, especially I was at KwaZulu-Natal and then in Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape. If they can actually maneuver that one and see what else can they do on that ground of off-road maintenance. And the other one, Chairperson, I'm trying to check, because there is this struggle between the taxi industry and the ministers in the department of the 70% versus the 100%. How are they going to deal with that one? Because it actually frustrates the commuters, because most of them, they are crying. I was in Joburg to check when they are loading there. You see, people are very frustrated. How are they going to do it? How are they going to deal with that one? And the other one, Chairperson, about that one, the tax relief. Because if you check the tax relief, which is 1.135 billion rand, which is granted to taxi industry, they are refusing it purposely. Until when the department is going, or the minister going to tolerate that this circumstances? Because this money can be used somewhere else, because there's a lot of projects and programs that need to be finished and to be finalized. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sithole, for the questions. Honorable members, I want to believe that is there any name that I've not identified?
Chairperson, is there opportunity for another question?
Yes. I think we have. Yeah, you can take the platform, Honorable Aksunya.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's only one question, and it relates to the relief fund. And upon the hesitance that currently exists to make use of this taxi relief fund, especially, if the minister could give us an indication, what would happen with the allocation from Treasury to transport should those funds not be taken up? Would it be available in the broader transport budget? Or are there any indications what should happen with this money should any of these funds not be distributed by the deadline, and whether there is a specific deadline? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Let's then agree that we give over to the team led by the Minister. If we still have time, we'll then get a second round. Over to you, Honourable Minister.
I will prefer that the DG respond to some of the questions, and then I will round off.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning to the afternoon to the honorable members. I have to also once more, Chair, apologize for ending the meeting late. I have been with the chair and the executive of the advisory committee. The advisory committee.
You are not audible enough.
I was saying that my apologies for joining the meeting late, because I had been in a meeting with the chair and the executive committee of the ministerial advisory committee on COVID-19, which is the advisory committee to the Minister of Health, which is looking at the issues pertaining to the loading capacities.
You don't have to worry. The minister represented you quite well in the input that he made. So you're okay. Well represented. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will quickly then go to the issues as they have been presented. Chair, on the issue of SANRAL allocation, and why would we want to do an allocation to GFIP? The reality, Honorable Hansinger, is that those loans have been taken up. They have been guaranteed by the state. They have been underwritten as such, and the liability exists. Whether there is social disobedience or rejection of the system or not, the loan has got to be paid. If the loan does not get paid, it will trigger a default. And when it does trigger a default, because SANRAL leverages its own balance sheet, it will trigger a cross default, which means that the rest of the SANRAL debt, all of it, irrespective which part it is, will become immediately payable. And then the creditors and lenders, as well as investors, will then call on the guarantees with the National Treasury. And that will now be a huge risk to the fiscus. So we have to find a way of servicing that debt. The instrument and tool we are using, a perfect one? No, certainly it's not. It's an imperfect tool, but in the absence of any other tool, we have to use this blunt one to keep up the fires burning. The solution really lies with what Honorable Dango is raising. It lies in finding a solution permanently to the e-toll impasse. And once that has been found, SANRAL will be able to now financially be on its feet. So even the alternatives and the allocations we're making are only temporal, awaiting the final decision to know how then the financing of roads and going forward, this how it will be done. So that's that, and I think perhaps Minister can then share a bit on that in that regard. But on the other issue, we agree with you. The projects pertaining to roads building and bridges, such as Mutentu Bridge and all others, needs to get underway. You have seen that since Level 3 started, some of the projects of SANRAL have commenced. And with it, we are in a process of laying some roads, and we are also resurfacing some and so forth. Obviously, we can't do this on a scale we want to, still with the albatross on our necks. And we have to cross through that and then be in a position where we can roll out the rest. So, but we do agree that the country now needs SANRAL more than ever before. And help the economy restart, but equally SANRAL needs the country also more than ever before. So we, the country and SANRAL needs each other so much that synergy has to be found and a solution that is mutually acceptable to all parties will become the reality of that. On the issue of the PTNG and the cities, Honorable Hunsinger, truth be told is that those cities, Treasury, indeed, I think Honorable Tolashe is right. Treasury is not a bully per se in the sense that it will willy-nilly and outside the framework of the law just take your money. Truth be told is that those three cities, you know, they have not spent money allocated to them in more than 3 to 4 financial years in a row on the same issue. And frankly, we can start pointing fingers of who could have done what and who couldn't. Our interest really is in looking forward now that we are here to say, how do we move and how do we make sure that we can safeguard what we can and we can deliver on what we have to deliver upon. And so the decision was not willy-nilly taken. It was taken, the cities themselves had opposed this matter. Treasury had given them the opportunity to submit their spending plans, they couldn't make it, and until the money has been taken. We are trying, the situation of Nelson Mandela is slightly different because they have been under Section 216 of the Constitution, and that will, as it is alleviating, when they do get out of it, they would require the money. And we're negotiating, as you may have seen with the presentation that the rollovers also applied for, include that of Nelson Mandela to be able to get back into stream. Honorable Tim Brothers, on the issue of the Treasury Instruction Note 8, we had been complying with that up until the point Treasury issued yet another instruction note and also issued new directives about who should procure for COVID-19. And I think you now know that the National Department of Transport is not procuring for COVID-19 other than for ourselves as an employer. for our own employees, sanitizers for people coming to our buildings and so on. But generally, we no longer procure anything for the public. Procurement happens at a provincial and municipal level. And if you have seen the revised frameworks, the PTNG, the Public Transport Network Grant, 15% of it is ring-fenced for cities to be able to deliver this PPEs to taxi ranks and to also clean and fumigate taxi ranks. And at a provincial level, 15% ring-fencing of the Public Transport Operators Grant, the PTOG, has been ring-fenced to achieve that point. And for rural municipalities, Treasury has a special allocation of 20 billion within which rural municipalities have got to procure also for the same for public transport and ensure that these things are available at a local level. Whether they are or not is a bit of a mixed bag, and it's an issue we ourselves at the national department will deal with provinces to determine as to where the blockages are. But if the question is, will we submit the available reports at the time we were procuring to Parliament? Certainly, once we are scheduled and we are told that this is what we must present, we will certainly do that. We will comply as and when we are required to do so. In as far as the PRMG and the spending, we agree fully. We think that we have also begun talking to provinces around, even Treasury now requires that a portion of this money be ring-fenced for labor-intensive methods of laying roads and maintaining them. And to that extent, we are in discussions. They are quite at an early stage, but we know that the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Council and the Infrastructure Office in the Presidency is coordinating part of this work to make sure that beyond level three of COVID, the work can commence and that people can then be employed on site to be able to do this work. The issue of e-tolls, Honorable Dango, I've touched on it, and I think perhaps Minister can share with you more what we are going to do. We do admit, Honorable Dolashe, that it is not ideal for money to be surrendered back to the National Revenue Fund, and as you may have seen with the process and with this report, we are clawing back as much of that as possible, and we are also asking for it to be reused separately. The challenge always is on the issue of funds that were originally appropriated not for ourselves in the national department, but for provinces and municipalities, and where those are unable to spend. Treasury has been having a hard position about the Chinese wall of whether that money can be bridged and be spent by the department itself, or whether the money should either be surrendered or be applied for rollover still for the same municipalities to spend. And so has COVID put us in a, I think COVID has thrust us in a better position where there's greater appetite to and capacity enhancement to be able to spend the money as and when it does come in. We agree, Honorable May, the cut of 2.6 billion is not a good one in that space of roads, but it was either this or the trains. So it's, and I think that we chose trains in this regard because they are supposed to be the biggest people mover, and our stated policy objectives is a move from road to rail. Yes, the current conditions are what they are, but that's why we are finding solutions, and we have also injected some cash into SANRAL to make sure that the critical road network remains prioritized for freight logistics and for movement of passengers and goods within the Republic and across the borders of the Republic. But of importance is the fact that we have to rebuild the rail infrastructure, and we have to ensure that investment is made in that area, as this will then become the backbone of the movement of people and commuters on a day-to-day basis. Honorable Sithole, Honorable May, the key issue we're faced up with was whether do we cut the hand or do we cut the foot. So both cuts are not good cuts at all, but if at all cut must be made, it's a tough choice whether to cut the hand or to cut the foot. But Some will say you are better off limping. Others will say you are better off only with one hand. And but in truth, none of the two are actually better. So that's the hard bargain we have had to face in this regard. So Honorable Sithole, the reduction of PRMG, we agree as well. And I think it was a Faustian pact we have had to enter, which was not a very good one at all. But it was the only alternative to move around in this regard. And the issue of 70 versus 100% is being attended to. And I believe Minister in his summary can also deal with that matter. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. The zero budgeting imperative, it will require streamlining on our priorities and focus on the outcomes with the greatest impact on service delivery. Our five priorities we presented earlier in the year give a sense of how we intend to streamline our focus. In a nutshell, Chairperson, these priorities become vehicles through which we advance the apex priorities of the six administration in a focused manner. Public transport, inclusive of taxi industry and rail infrastructure, maritime and safety are important cornerstones of our outlook going forward. Now, when it comes to the issue of Honorable Hansinger about what will happen to 1.135. We have not decided what will happen. We are working on the basis that that money will be disbursed to the taxi industry, and we have set processes with regard to negotiating some of the things that the taxi industry is raising. And obviously, we would not want that money to go elsewhere except to be spent on the taxi industry itself in a form of relief in whatever way we can. The loading capacity, we are discussing that. The taxi industry is faced with a number of difficulties under COVID-19. Among others, the question of the capacity and of the taxi industry has also affected them. But COVID-19 in general, in terms of lockdown, because of less movement of people and less transportation of people, despite the fact that the taxi industry has been operational even in the lockdown, transporting health workers within limited hours. But from a financial perspective, they've not been making any money. That is the reality. That is the reality at the end of the day that need to be considered. I have been talking to the banks. They've been quite receptive to me in relation to their intervention on the payment holidays, and also try to alleviate the stress on the part of the taxi owners and operators in the country. And once we have concluded our discussions towards the end of the week, and once we have concluded the loading capacity, I will be able to give the public and your honorable selves the projection in terms of how, as a package, we are going to intervene temporarily for the taxi industry in the context of the COVID-19. I'm very clear, clearer like never before, that the mandate for us to assist in the regulating the taxi industry and bring about subsidy in the industry, it is an important cornerstone of our transformation project and professionalization of the industry. You cannot talk about formalization without professionalization, because professionalization is about the conduct of the taxi driver, is about the outlook and the conduct of everybody else who undertakes the responsibility to work in this field. Just like when you get to an aeroplane, the voice of the stewardess who speaks to you when you enter and sit down, Honorable Manley, is so sweet, like Sunday morning. That's professionalization. And the voice of the pilot who speaks to you about the distance and all of that is quite good to inform you about all of these things. Now, that professionalization must find expression in the taxi industry. But over and above that, you've got formalization. Taxi industry will argue with you that, no, we are formalized. But they are formalized, not fully formalized. And they too are hard hit, double hit more than anybody, because if you look at the small industries and small, medium, macro enterprises that are registered and are formalized, they are able to get out of their space and get some loans and all of that. The taxi industry cannot. They can't get that. They can't access their own employees, UIF, and all of that, precisely because they are not registered companies and operators within the system. And that affected them in a great deal. But over and above that, an industry that you've got about over 40 billion rand injection into the economy annually is not subsidized by the state. And then it carries millions and millions of our people on daily basis. And therefore, it is not subsidized, in particular, the poorest of the poor. So the terms of subsidy versus formalization have got to be negotiated and be settled once and for all to get the industry going compared to other countries, you know, in the first world or even in the third world, where taxi industry is formalized and subsidized by government. So we want to move towards that, and that is the answer. This COVID-19 relief and the fights and all of that, they are temporary, but the long-term objective of this government, of the sixth administration, is to drive rigorously the agenda of transformation by the realization of formalization and subsidization of this particular industry. And I'm going to come back to you with the permission of the chairperson to brief the committee on my undertaking to engage the industry on when COVID-19 arrived in this country and interrupted us. We're already on the path towards taxi endeavor to realize this objective. Now, it will depend whether we still go through that path or differently, but at the end of the day, my mandate is to bring to the table the taxi industry and myself leading government a total settlement on the question of subsidization and the formalization of the industry. So I don't want to take that money back to the fiscus. I want it to be invested in the treasury. I mean, not in the treasury, in the taxi industry, but in a form of relief. And that is what we are discussing now with the taxi industry and so on. So we have been discussing this past weekend on Sunday, giving back the report. Now the MIC is finalizing the 100% capacity versus 70% capacity with conditionalities. That will come at a cost, but for the safety of our people, those things have got to be implemented. Tomorrow, we will then get a final report, and the NCCC and cabinet will make a final determination. On Wednesday, I'll report to the industry with regard to the final decision on this particular matter. The ETOLs, we are done with this matter. We are waiting for finalization by cabinet and with the Minister of Finance, because there's a whole lot of things that we needed to consider in terms of the options on the table. And we are looking at the options in terms of settling the e-toll matter. And the Minister of Transport is dealing with the issue. And then once Cabinet is resolved on the issue, I'll be able to report back. And very soon, we should be able to deal with that. As you can see, it has got an impact in terms of the balance sheet and the expenditure of SANRAL and all of that. So, and our borrowing capacity also is affected. And we need to deal with that matter and close it so that we can release SANRAL to be in a position to go back to where it was. So there will be, there is progress on the e-tolls. Unfortunately, that discussion is now at cabinet level. I can't give the details of how far is that discussion, and because I will be preempting a whole lot of things in relation to that. So once cabinet has finalized, it's not, it has passed the committee stages and all of that, we will be able to report back on the matter. The instruction note, we should give you a report, honorable team, from Treasury to monitor the expenditure and all of that. I'm very worried myself about how this money has been spent in relation to that money that is reinforced for the provinces to spend on PPEs, because whenever I meet with the industry and I interact with them, they complain to me that they can't feel it, that there is government intervention in relation to the PPEs on the ground and all of that. I'm worried about that, and I'm going to have a hard discussion with the department when it comes to monitoring of this money and the implementation, not only with the department, but also with the provinces, my colleagues, about the rollout of PPEs expenditure and all of that. I don't want the corruption here in my department about PPEs. I don't want that. Not going to play marbles here, and so on. So what is going to happen here is that I want proper accountability. How is this money per province being spent? How many distribution centers per taxi rank is this taking place? Especially because I know what is coming in terms of the discussion of 100%, because we need to have a clear strategy that the DG and I, we've got to have a hard talk about it, and the deputy minister, about how we are going to distribute. We will need more money. It is still early days. Coronavirus is showing us flames every day. Our people are dying, leaders are dying, we've reached our peak, it's a mess. So whatever we do is going to come at serious cost. Distribution of money, every cent must be accounted for. And those who have won tenders to get this job done must do a proper job, and they must be held accountable. You know my view. I've said our people must be empowered. Clearly, those people in the township who can provide masks and all of that, and everywhere else, those who've got the capacity, this is the time for them to get something going. Government must support them. If we have made an evaluation that they can be in a position to deliver. And the report that I got in relation to what the department have dispersed in a very short space of time was that a lot of black-owned companies and empowerment SMMEs have actually also benefited from that. But I wouldn't know who are those and all of that in terms of the detail of it. But it's quite clear, Chair, that we will have to have a serious discussion team on that. And then we will have to give you a report. And I want to accentuate that I don't think there should be a difficulty. If you want report from us and the department, from the instruction note of the Treasury, that we shouldn't even wait. We must be in a position to account monthly on how the monies have been spent and all of that, like we do to the Auditor General in the country. I think those will be the points. And thank you very much, Chairperson. And the last point I want to make, we are considering this discussion, Honorable Hans Singer, on the issue of merging of departments, and may it be PRASA, Transnet. I've been given a task by the executive to develop what we call rail strategy for the country, and also to develop air strategy for the country. And that is going to affect the whole discussion around PRASA and Transnet, and also the long resolved discussion about corporatization of TNPA, which we must lead and finalize, because it affects the growth and the expansion of our harbor in relation of it being recapitalized, precisely because of non-implementation of corporatization. So we are on track with regard to that. I agree with you, some of these entities must be merged, but that will be underpinned by our own discussion in the ministry and the department. And, we are going to be generating that discussion going forward to accelerate this particular point. But at the level of the executive, Treasury is leading us on this matter in terms of the merger of some of the entities, and that there should be no difficulty to do that going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for the comprehensive response from yourself and the DG. Honorable Minister, Honorable Members, I want to believe that there is no any follow-up questions.
Chair, I still have Honorable Moyimang, my chair, I still have a follow-up, please.
Okay, Honorable Team.
I will be very brief, Chair. I won't abuse your kindness. Minister, thank you very much for your commitment on that particular issue that I raised. I think it is concerning that your DG is not aware of the responsibility. The instruction note is quite clear, and it says that within 30 days of the expenditure happening, this is point 3.6 of the instruction note 8, which came out on the 19th of March. It says that the department must send Treasury a report in a specific format, and it says description of items, supplier name, unit price, quantity, total price, saving achieved when compared to the prices listed on Annexure A, and motivation from deviating from the items listed in Annexure A, if applicable. So there's a very, very clear guideline set down by Treasury as to how that must be reported, and it must be within 30 days. So the DG's statement saying, well, if we have to, we will, is unfortunately incorrect. Yes, in fact, he has to. And so I'm encouraged that you are also concerned about it, because, Minister, you all know this is where there is a massive potential for corruption, because we have decided to deviate from normal procurement procedures. And we have to, as public representatives, be very, very, very careful. Minister, Chair, the other thing I want to just raise, if the Minister can just respond, it's not budget related. I did say that in the beginning, but I have an opportunity now. I have been dealing with a number of South Africans who want to leave the country to go to other countries. They have been cleared by Durco, they've been cleared by the Department of Home Affairs, and they have indeed booked flights on carriers such as Turkish Airlines, Lufthansa, Qatar, Emirates, but then those flights have been cancelled. And it appears that the blockage seems to be under the Department of Transport. And so I'm just trying to get clarity for those South Africans. They're returning under the rules for work reasons. They need to go back overseas, family reunions, all the normal categories which are allowed. But it seems that they book these flights. And there's one particular South African minister has booked something like 4 flights and paid for them and is now sitting and waiting for massive amounts of refunds. But it just cannot, as it seems it's going to happen, the flights get cancelled. So, Minister, can you just help me as to where the blockages are? I'm just trying to help a couple of South Africans that are struggling with this particular problem. These are people that have been repatriated, gone through the 14-day quarantine, but now have to go out of the country again to continue with work activities and family reunions and things like that. So I just really would love your assistance there if the blockage does sit with transport. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Maybe just the last thing, Honourable Minister, before I give you the fact that the rail transport has started operating. Probably the Minister can just take the two committees into confidence in terms of the in terms of whether there were any other experience that was related starting to operate. Are we having enough protocols in place to make sure that we are able to mitigate the spread from the chain movement? Over to you, Minister.
I would want the DG to report on the operational aspect. And then on the question raised by Honorable Tim.
Yeah,
and also our readiness with regard to PRASA operationally. I can add overall in terms of our oversight and monitoring of that work. DG?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I guess perhaps I need to first clarify, Honorable Tim Brassesov, I think I've not been heard properly when I said that if we need to report, I meant to the Parliament. But I know that we are obligated to submit reports on a monthly basis to the National Treasury. And when I began presenting, I indicated that we are indeed compliant with Treasury Instruction 8. And that's the point I was making in this regard, that but we have been submitting reports to the National Treasury in the prescribed format that it has been required as such. If we come to the issue of the flights, the Department of Transport, have not blocked any flights whatsoever. We work through the net joints, and there is a work stream on border management, which has Home Affairs, DERCO, as well as ourselves and state security police and many other people or other departments and role players, including agencies, in that work stream. That work stream takes collective decisions following the established protocols on how flights are provided and approved. As you may know and you may appreciate, at this stage of the coronavirus lockdown level 3, our borders remain closed. They are not open, and therefore it means there are no scheduled flights to South Africa and out of South Africa to other foreign countries. They are unscheduled. So the system that is being utilized now is a system by which airlines, are they exploiting the market? Certainly they are. I guess they are doing that. In the name of repatriation or even evacuation, different airlines globally arrange for passenger numbers and they assess the load, whether they've got sufficient passengers. And then when they think that enough tickets have been bought on their side, they apply for a permit from ourselves. In terms of the procedure, if it is foreign nationals who are in South Africa willing to go back home, for instance, their country of origin has got to send a note verbal via formal diplomatic channels wherein that country indicates its interest or intent in evacuating its own citizens back to the countries where they have to go back to. And that gets through DERCO, and DERCO processes that and brings it to the border management thing, and the slot is identified based on the available capacity, you may realize that because the borders are closed, for instance, we have been using largely Johannesburg International Airport as a gateway to process repatriations and evacuations. And you also had another dilemma of the internal leg before the domestic operations commenced. And therefore, most of our airports were closed. And even at Johannesburg, we had only opened the domestic terminal, which we also used for international flights. So the slots are quite limited on the basis of available capacity, knowing that everything is under lockdown. So from that point of view, it takes a bit longer before a next slot is provided. And you may find that the people willing to travel are willing to travel almost immediately. There has been instances we receive a note verbal today of people saying that the flight is scheduled to travel tomorrow morning at 8. And yet there is still a whole host of things that, from port health point of view, health has got to do to put in place, where actually even public works has got to arrange quarantine facilities for people arriving and so on. A new issue has emerged of recent, of people who are neither covered in the category of evacuations or repatriation. Is not South Africa willing to go fetch its citizens somewhere, or citizens of South Africa willing to return home, or foreigners willing to live here and go back to their home countries? You now have South Africans who are here at home, who are saying, I work in Wuhan in China. Now Wuhan is open for business, and I need to go back to go take up my work opportunity or employment. We had initially, the decision was that that shouldn't be allowed because we will then have to go evacuate them again and so forth. But finally, the NCCC provided guidance to say that that should be allowed. And NetJoins had to put in place mechanisms on how that will be allowed and on what basis. So now, individually, each person has got to lodge an application with DIRCO, indicating the purpose of their travel and every other thing, as the lockdown is still in effect. So many of these passengers do not follow those protocols. They actually buy tickets first, and then the airline sees that it has sufficient numbers, and the airline applies for it to take off to take the South Africans wherever they need to go, only to find that many of them do not even have the permits to allowing them then to leave and to go back. So there is no way that that airline will then be allowed to leave with the people with no permits and where proper arrangements have not been made in time and so on. And I think that I'm just giving a global view of some of the challenges with the administration of the system. But if we had more time, I would share with you even other instances of where it is a difficulty. But it is not us transport saying people shouldn't travel or that we have blocked. In fact, there's even where we have had to wake up staff at 3 o'clock in the morning to evacuate South Africans who were stranded in Doha and everywhere else. We had had to work round the clock, and we are prepared to process as quickly as possible every application that comes to our site. And we only do the application or the processing of the application once the border work stream at NetJoins says yes. Previously, we have also allowed some flights, but you may recall, flight may be allowed and it does land, but if port health and immigration services are unavailable to process the South Africans, you then have the challenge of what has happened with the flight from the US, where people were stranded on the tarmac for in excess of 4 or 5 hours without them having the ability to enter the airport building and be processed and to go. And that, I don't think that that is a type of service we would want to provide. And that's why we work as an interdepartmental effort to make sure that the entire machinery is functional and all parties are at the table. So that's why we only issue permits once they've been complied with fully. I think I've answered the issues that have been raised in this regard. Is there any other thing, Chair? But I guess this is what it was. Thanks.
No, I think it's fine, other than the readiness of Praza.
On the readiness of Praza, Chair, We had allowed the rail service to commence operation from the 1st of June. And accordingly, we asked both the two main operators for commuter rail purposes, being the Bombela Gautrain operation, as well as Metro Rail on the part of Prasa. And we had looked at the plans, we tested those plans, and we found that only the Gautrain was ready. And Gautrain was allowed to proceed with its operation from the 1st of June. We are there to agree with Prasa on a revision of the plans to make sure that social distancing measures can be handled and they can be implemented well. And the department had worked for a full month with Prasa to make sure that that becomes a reality. The markings of the station, the seat kills, the measurements within coaches, all of what needed to happen had to happen, including the fact that we needed to secure money from the treasury and have the PPEs ready for sanitization of hands, for temperatures to be checked. And by its nature, Prasa has just so many stations. Some of them are quite old. And if you may recall, Chair, a station like Eerste Fabriek at a line of Pienaarspoort to Pretoria was built in the 1930s. It was intended to do for that motor vehicle factory in Silverton. And you may also know very, very well that the platform was designed to carry about 300 passengers. It's still exactly looking as it did back then. And today, however, it's catering for more than 3,000 passengers. So even if you do 1 meter distancing on the platform, you simply can't get enough of the people to be on that platform. So only a few, like 80 with 1 meter distancing, can be on that platform. What do you do with the rest of the 3,000 who want to enter the train? Whether to do land reclamation behind stations, to do social distancing measures, put cones, do every other thing. It took longer, and it took a month for us to get there. And we started with just a limited service, four lines all in all. First, including the Pienaarspoort to Pretoria line, in the Cape, the Southern line from Cape Town to Retreat, and the two lines in the Eastern Cape, a PE line as well as the East London line. So we have done that, and we have managed to, by far, I think we have looked at the current challenges. We have reviewed the first week of operations, and we are pleased with what we have been able to achieve this far. I think you would recall the pre-COVID scenario of where passengers were hanging on the side of trains and where they were on top of trains and all of that. So you don't see that now. And you would also realize that from a capacity point of view, the new EMVs or the trains that we are currently utilizing, particularly in Gauteng, you would then see that they are geared at taking about 3,500 passengers. But right now we are taking only 15% of their carrying capacity at about 550 passengers. This now means that we need much more rolling stock, but in many instances, because of vandalization of infrastructure, that has not been possible. We are now in a position where we can only do a throughput of up to 45 minutes intervals between trains on manual train authorization to prevent possible collisions and possible harm to passengers in terms of these trains. And that means then the timetable and number of trains you actually can schedule becomes quite limited. We are working on this round the clock to repair the vandalized infrastructure and to keep the trains and improve the throughput at least to about 20 minutes intervals, and that will improve. But in this time, it means that we can carry lesser passengers than what normally the demand is. We have received tremendous support from commuters in the sense that many of them, they are counted before they get in, they get to be screened, they get sanitized, they do every other thing, they show their tickets, they get on board. And where we indicate that the train is full, we haven't seen the anger we have seen in the past where people burn trains and do all other things. So the first week has gone fairly well. Obviously, for this system to hold up, we've got to ramp up the increase in the lines. Next, we'll be doing the KwaMashu line in KwaZulu-Natal, and we'll also be doing the Northern line in the Cape. And we will then come to the New Canada line in Gauteng, as well as the Centurion Lerala line here. And we will also be looking at further lines as we go along. But we are planning for those lines now as we move along. And obviously, the increase in capacity is what will make sure that we take many more. But rail service, we're also looking at this as a test pilot. We'll never be the same again once we have gone through this route. And we think perhaps it can be sustainable, and it's showing a glimmer of hope of what the system could be and could look like during COVID and beyond COVID as such. So that's really, in a nutshell, the state of readiness. And we have also asked the rail safety regulator to do its run on this. So they have done their run, they have made an assessment, and they send us a very positive report. And they have made only one highlight to say that we have to improve security on the platforms and in the trains. And that will be the only thing that they want us to attend to. But generally, the system is holding up very fairly well. Thanks.
Thank you, DG. Any last word from yourself, Minister?
No, I've covered, Chairperson. We have worked very hard to get this thing going, but obviously there will be challenges. It needs strong monitoring in the context of COVID and opening up the lines. The biggest threat at PRASA is security. And once that is fixed, we'll get things all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister, for the presentation, and also in the manner in which your team has responded to the questions and queries raised by honorable members. We appreciate the manner in which the minister's team has interacted with the announcement that was made by the minister on the 24th of June, 2020, the Minister of Finance, and in how you were able to interact as a department in terms of what is expected from the department side. You did indicate the pressure and the challenges and the amount that was initially suggested when you met with us when you presented the APP and the Strat plan. But we must appreciate the input that the department and the minister was able to make in ensuring that you are able to mitigate the percentage that they had to be readjusted. Number of areas that you indicated to us, Honorable Minister, you were able to indicate to us the areas that were identified, particularly around the goods and services. But more than that, I think the reduction that took place in the goods and services, the reduction in the taxi recap, the provincial roads maintenance grant, the public transport network, the PRASA, the South African National Roads Agency, all of these areas you were able to identify to us how the readjustment impacted on the initial amount and the figures that were presented to us when we dealt with the Strat plan and the APP. And we must indeed express also the effort that the team put in terms of ensuring that you were able to pinpoint to the Treasury's team in terms of where you are of the view that the reduction might not have a maximum impact, and that the areas that were identified will be able to ensure that there's no deviation in terms of the key indicators that that you presented to us. More than that, I think the minister, the members also expressed their appreciation in terms of the good work that we have been able to do under tremendous pressure with the tax industry. The fact that we are able to persuade the Treasury to ensure that at least 1.3 billion is set aside, particularly given the fact that this tax industry is a vulnerable industry. It's a mode of transport that is very close to the commuters, and therefore we will be indeed expressing our message of support to the standing work that the minister has done in terms of ensuring that this impasse between the department and the tax industry is not worsened. We are of the view that in terms of the joint communique that was made by the department and the tax industry, it was a clear illustration that indeed you were able to find each other. But we will be there to ensure that throughout the year there is accountability in terms of the areas that were identified. Members able to express their view in terms of the vulnerability of the system, given the emergency procurement processes that were introduced, and that it is important that the department account to the committees in terms of the expenditure. But more than that, I think we are happy, Honorable Minister, and on behalf of the joint committees, let me take this opportunity to express our appreciation to yourself and the team for the good work done in terms of responding to the adjustment budget speech. And we'll continue to interact in a manner that will take accountability and oversight forward. And with those few words, honorable members, the meeting now stands adjourned. Thank you.
Jay, there was something that I wanted to say.
Don't leave.
Yeah, you can leave, Minister. I will finish up here.
Yeah, but you are using Microsoft, so you must switch off the video and mute. You must mute the video and then you have good stuff. Just an advice for you for the future, honorable members. Thank you very much.
Uvule is London Airport, it's all.
Comrade Chair.
Thank you, Minister.
When we started, I asked Comrade Zwane that there's a couple of issues that we wanted to just raise, that I wanted to raise. Okay. But it's not particularly important if the Minister and the DG is not here. It's just a couple of... One is the current problem we have, the Road Freight Industry Drivers Association, that interdicted the drivers on striking today regarding the illegal use of foreign drivers on the truck in the trucking industry, with all honesty, Chair, this has become a real problem in South Africa, where companies employ foreigners so that they don't have to pay taxes and they don't have to look after the workers as per regulation in this country. And it cannot be right that an association that's supposed to be protecting the drivers are now the same association that is now interdicting the drivers from having a stoppage because of this white monopoly capital companies that are using foreign drivers as a scapegoat not to pay proper taxes and benefits to our drivers in this country. And as much as foreign countries have assisted this country in transforming from a racist society to this open society and non-racist society we have in South Africa. It cannot be right that companies rather employ foreign drivers when there are 31% or 32% unemployment in this country. It cannot be right. That is the first issue that I want to raise, Comrade Chair. The second issue is there's many letters and questions that we've asked to the departments. And I would now want the chair of both committees, of the select committee and the committee, to maybe write to the department that we cannot wait forever for their responses. I mean, we have reports that we have to finish, oversight reports that we have to finish, reports to our constituencies that we have to finish. But we can't finish those reports because we are not furnished with the correct information, and we're always lacking when we have to answer to these questions. I mean, I've asked questions that have not been answered since I think 4 or 5 meetings ago, more than 3 or 4 months. That is the other thing. And my last point, Chair, I would like the committee to please, I want to make a motion that all the metros that are involved in BRTs must come present their plans and their current progress on the BRT systems in all of these metros. And I would like all of those committees to come present their case.
My office is not out of that building.
All of those BRTs to come present at the committee. Thank you, Chase.
Yeah, I can't copy guidance.
Honorable Dagmar.
Yeah, sorry.
Can you mute? I'm having another conversation. Can you mute yourself? All right, thanks. Can you then agree that I think we need to find a way. We must agree that obviously we need a meeting with the team on these issues, Honorable Mandy. The sense that I get is that it's a matter of having a meeting with the minister and the DG on those issues, particularly with regard to communication between Parliament and the department. Areas of concern must be ironed out, because I get a sense that the major issue is that responses are not given to letters. That is the thrust of the first issue that is raised. The second one relates to, I think, obviously, the track issue is a very urgent one. Can you agree that we probably in the next coming few days have engagement with the department on this issue, so that at least we sensitize them? I think that is my proposal in terms of how we deal with these two issues that you have raised. But the track issue is very urgent. It's a recurrence of what happened last year. I remember last year we had the same thing where tracks were burnt, and we were able to get a presentation from the department on this issue from the select committee side. So my proposal is that let's agree that we'll have a meeting. Over to you.
I agree, Comrade Chair. Can we then, in preparation for this meeting, maybe schedule the Road Freight Industry Drivers Association to meet with us before we meet with the department?
No problem.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we then agree that we close the meeting?
I agree, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you very much, Chair.